brothers, sisters, and respected listeners. First of all, I want to thank the brothers and sisters of the Texas Ecclesias for hosting this week-long meal of spiritual food. I also want to mention that I did miss the study classes each morning this week due to another important task, that of working with the young children, or the children of the ecclesial members. I have to commend you as parents, teachers, and mentors for the knowledge base that these children have been given. But be encouraged that that work is not finished. The work will never be done until the time described through the image scenario shown to Nebuchadnezzar and interpreted by Daniel, that of the grinding down to powder, the image seen by Nebuchadnezzar, and the elevation of that stone to a mountain that will fill the whole earth. Think of those four young Israelites talked about this week that were taken from their homeland and brought to a land of exile and subsequently chosen to attend a feast at the king's palace with Nebuchadnezzar. They were not much older than those children of my class. Those four were chosen because of their knowledge base, their wisdom, and their individual abilities. The purpose of their exile was multifold in nature. They were to learn the ways and methods of the sovereignty and power to which they were to obey. They were also to strengthen their own faith as children of promise, to be encouraged to remain separate while existing in a land of exile. They were to be instrumental in allowing those in exile of Abraham's descent to be able to return to their own land. So my class of Bible students is pretty much in the same situation as Daniel. Daniel was a young man when he went into exile, and that was brought up with and learned well a standard unique to the calling of the children of promise. My class, too, had the same type of privileged childhood. Daniel lived under a new set of rules and regulations and did so, as recorded, without offense. He also maintained and obeyed the standards that his ethnic and spiritual core was composed. This he did for compliance to the current powers that be, as well as for survival, as Daniel was described as a very wise man. He knew that he had to comply with the laws of the land. However, he also knew he must maintain his separateness and his specialness while living in exile. He was to live in, but not become part of the Babylonian civilization. We know through history that many did not. Our children need to have their faith strengthened and realize their specialness and calling by accepting the responsibility through baptism. Until then, they will be living in a world much the same as Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. A world that has so much to offer, full of temptations to entice everyone to stray from Yahweh's high calling. Thus, having the knowledge that there is some better thing to strive for, Daniel did maintain his integrity and separateness during his lifelong in exile. Today, the subject of the study hour is to the final chapter of the book of Daniel, the final days of Daniel's life, as well as the description of the end of his concurrent world order and that of the future. It is also an ending of our study of the prophecy written by Daniel for this week only. The study is for this week only. The culmination of the study depicts kingdoms, political powers, and periods of time. Concurrent concepts are not uncommon while studying the scriptures. The image seen by Nebuchadnezzar described political powers in succession. The beast described changes in the political powers within global control. Finally, periods of time are identified and described, explaining starts and ends related to different periods of rulership and political control. So the key here is the final chapter of Daniel depicts the time that leads to the end of the kingdom of men. However, the true starting date and ending date were not given. especially for us to know that Daniel was told to seal up to the time of the end. And for the question, how long till these wonders will occur, we shall see these things end. When shall these things end? He was given three time frames that are specifically obscure. Daniel 12 and 6. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the water of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard a man clothed in linen, which was on the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand into heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, a times, and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. A time in Jewish history is described as 360 days. So 360 plus 360 plus 180 equals 1260 days. The answer to when shall the end of these things, Daniel 12 and 11, and from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. And the third, Daniel 12 and 12, blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. The time periods here were described 1260, 1290, and 1335. Here again, a final 75-year period is indicated related to the rebirth of Israel, of which we were all in the midst. At the moment, these periods appear to have run out successively in 1917, 1947, and 1992. But it is not for us to know the time or the hour, only to be wide awake to the possibility and to recognize that it is now certainly the time of the end. Christ replied to the question, when shall these things come to pass? Luke chapter 12 and 39. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what hour the thief was coming, he would have watched and not have left his house to be broken through. Paul stated that in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 2, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. I, at this juncture, would dare to be a Daniel, as I and am sure you all want to know what these time periods really mean, especially the beginning and the ending dates. The most difficult task in this matter is how to decipher when the beginning dates would start, and then the ending dates may become evident. So I am not the wise man to decipher them at this time. However, it is interesting, just for a side point related to current history and that of the rebirth of the truth, that Brother John Thomas attempted to calculate these times. Another note is that Sir Isaac Newton stated that he had other scientific concerns, but if he had devoted his energy to unraveling the Bible information, he believed he could come up with all these answers. It was understood that Daniel would not be alive when the Jews were allowed to return to their land in the current period of time. In the later days during the 19th century, but he would be when allowed to return in the peaceful era ruled by Christ. Daniel chapter 12 and 13, but go thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest, and shalt stand in thy lot at the end of days. Paul also wrote that he too would be able to partake in the glorious hope as his work was finished. 1 Timothy 4 and 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them that have loved his appearing. Daniel was in exile, along with the greater population of the Israelites. He spent most of his life out of his homeland. But he knew that the current kingdom would not be allowed to continue, and that new powers would arise and follow the exiled Jews to return and allow them to return to their land. Daniel would not be allowed when Israel was allowed to return to their homeland under Cyrus. But he did prepare the children of Israel to think about their return home. The historical record depicts a man with a familiar and that was familiar and wise in the ways of Yahweh's law and consistent in his faith throughout his life. So the events described here in chapter 12 is Michael and who stood up. It was a period of time depicted as a time of trouble. There's a description of a book containing names of those to be delivered. There's inference to a resurrection. There's a description of judgment. And there's a judgment to life or rejection. There's glory being bestowed. There's sealing of information till the time of the end. A description of the time of the end. A vision of the two angels. The length of time that these things would be, 1290, 1335, and the death and sleep of Daniel until the end, and then the bestowing of life as a judgment. Daniel saw in the vision and prophecies that will come out of them. However, he also saw that at the end of these visions was destruction. Brother Seth posed a question in his comments the other day. Was Daniel happy that the children of Israel would be able to return to their land because he realized that there was an ending, and that was of destruction? The destruction of the kingdom of men, not the kingdom of Yahweh. Here too in chapter 12, Daniel saw the time of trouble. The period of time that men would be traveling to and fro throughout the earth and brightness would shine. Daniel was able to clear his mind knowing that great things would be in the horizon and the greater things would be after these times, periods, and rewarding of his lot at the end of days. So chapter 12 depicts the end of the kingdom of men. And that time period for demise, restoration, and reward have been mentioned. The example of how Daniel lived his life in a land of exile, temptation and testing shows that life is not easy living in that type of situation, but one must constantly be looking for the end, that is, the reward at the last burst. We should all dare to be a Daniel.